on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. We'll start with some Indy 500 talk ahead of Sunday's big race. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette drops by to discuss sectionals in volleyball as well as track and field, and we'll catch up on the Tin Caps. I'll close with notes on Game 1 of Pacers-Knicks, the Fever, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Well, here in the Hoosier States, it's the big weekend. The Indianapolis 500 has sold out its grandstands for the first time in nearly a decade. As a result, the local TV blackout that's been in place since 1951 has been lifted, so fans in central Indiana will be able to watch the race live. Indianapolis Motor Speedway President Doug Bowles says he expects a crowd of about 350,000 race fans at the track Sunday for the 109th running of the greatest spectacle in racing. The lifting of the local TV blackout is good news for Fox, which will be broadcasting the race for the first time, as well as Pacers fans. Normally, the race airs locally after its conclusion Sunday evening, which would create a conflict with Game 3 of the Pacers-Knicks series this year. It's the first grandstand sellout since 2016, and for good reason. Lots of great stories this year. Joseph Newgarden will be going for a record third consecutive Indy 500 victory, but now will do it from the rear of the field after his car and that of Team Penske teammate Will Power were found to have an illegally altered piece, resulting in a disqualification from the final rounds of qualifying. Power will also start from the rear of the field. Their other teammate, Scott McLaughlin, will be running a backup car after a hard crash in practice last Sunday. Two-time defending IndyCar champion Alex Palou, who finished second in 2021 and fifth last year, will be going for his first Indy 500 win. The 28-year-old Spaniard has been dominant in the series this season, winning four out of the first five races. Indy 500 rookie Robert Schwartzman, who has dual Israeli and Russian nationality, will start on the pole after a stunning showing by Prima Racing, which likewise is making its 500 debut. The last rookie to qualify on the pole was Tio Fabi in 1983. Meanwhile, NASCAR star Kyle Larson will be trying for the second time to complete the double by running all 1,100 laps of the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 in Charlotte on the same day. Tony Stewart is the only driver to have ever done it in 2001. I'm joined now by Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Volleyball sectionals have come to an end. Who's moving on in the tournament?
From the DeKalb sectional, Carroll won, beating Northrop in the final, and then I spent Saturday evening at the Southside sectional, where Homestead and Heritage met up, and that ended up being a five-set thriller. Heritage took the first set, Homestead the next two, Heritage tied it up to force a fifth. Homestead seemed to have a pretty handy lead there. I believe it was 14-7 in the fifth set, match point, and then Heritage stormed all the way back to make it 14-13 before Homestead finally got out of there, won 15-13, win the sectional title in the first year of the officially sanctioned IHSAA tournament. So Homestead and Carroll, rivals, already played each other three times this season, will meet up once again at the Peru Regional this coming Saturday.
We're also moving along in the track and field tournament, and wouldn't you know it, we're talking about Mallory Weller again.
Yes, so she set two records on Tuesday. She broke the 1600 record, which was held by her own coach, Alyssa McKeag. So she broke that one from 2004. And then she broke the 3200 meter record that was set by Madison Frucci in 2016. Still a record-breaking night for Mallory at the Northrop sectional, even though with the rain, the wind, the cold temperatures hovering around 50 degrees, not the sort of atmosphere that you would want for a record-breaking day, especially for the more sprint and field events. But it was a really big day for Carroll. The Chargers win their fifth straight sectional title pretty handily with 140.5 points. So easily get past Bishop Dwenger, which was second with 93, and Northrop third with 89.5. Really big day for Nadia Ford, the Carroll sophomore, who won both the 100 and the 200, even though, again, conditions not ideal. She helped the Chargers to first place in the 4x1 relay. Again, the Chargers won the 4x1 at last year's state finals. Three of those four runners are back in this relay again, so really exciting for them. Maybe one of the most interesting parts of the night is that Nadia, again, typically 100, 200 meters is kind of her sweet spot, jumped into the 4x4. She's not run the 400 since middle school. Almost helped the Chargers come from behind to win the 4x4. They finish about a second behind Bishop Dwenger in the end, but still second place finish, good for 8 points. It was quite an experience for Nadia. she was hurting a little bit after that, but you know, I talked to one of her coaches and he said it's really exciting to see somebody who is talented and a competitor, but also a team player. And so pretty exciting day for the Chargers, who have said over and over again that they do have ambitions to win a state title at the track and field championships this spring.
The Tin Caps are in the middle of a long homestand that will run through Sunday. How have they been looking over the last week?
Well, we were just talking about how this rainy, cold weather, not great for you if you're a hurdler, if you're in the 100 meters, if you're doing the long jump. It's also really not great if you're a baseball player. And so the Tin Caps have been feeling that. They lost their 6 of 7 Tuesday as we're recording this. It was supposed to be the series opener between the Tin Caps and the Cedar Rapids Colonels, but the game started with rain. Less than 2 hours later, they ended up making this a rain-shortened game. Colonels win this one 5-1. It has been a struggle for the Tin Caps both to actually get on the field in some cases. Maybe the managers were not the happiest that they were actually out there playing, and also just not a lot of good results for the Tin Caps over the past week or so.
It's Memorial Day weekend. Many of us are thinking about the Indy 500. What's on your radar locally?
Yeah, so if you are kind of experienced in high school sports around this area, you know that oftentimes the IHSAA hosts the baseball sectional finals on Memorial Day, kind of have a nice 11 a.m. or noon start, and then that kind of kicks off the Memorial Day festivities. But just the way that the calendars fall this year, with Memorial Day being very early, a lot of the typical postseason schedules are being upended a little bit. So this year, we're going to have the volleyball state tournament regionals being held on that Saturday before the Memorial Day holiday. And then our baseball and softball tournaments, instead of concluding on Memorial Day weekend, are actually going to kick off the week following Memorial Day. So Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, we can start to get into baseball and softball postseason.
Victoria Jacobson, covering the wide range of Northeast Indiana sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Starting a playoff series on the road is never easy, especially in a place as keyed up as Madison Square Garden Wednesday night. But the Pacers have conference finals experience. They have Rick Carlisle, and they were able to steal one in New York to go up 1-0 in the series. It doesn't guarantee anything, but splitting a road series in the playoffs is usually the bare minimum you want. They've already taken care of that part. We've got much quicker turnarounds this series. Game 2 from the Garden is Friday night at 8. The series shifts to Gainbridge for Game 3 Sunday night, also at 8. Should be a fun Sunday down in Indy with the race happening as well. The WNBA season is now in full swing, and the Fever are 1-1. After a dominant season opener against the Chicago Sky, they lost a heartbreaker Tuesday night against the Atlanta Dream, 91-90. Despite outscoring the Dream 25-15 in the fourth, the comeback was held back. There's 42 games left, and if you're going to lose, you at least want to put up a fight and do it early in the year. Both happened here. That's just sports. Moving on. They're not done with the Dream. They'll have a rematch tonight in Atlanta. Tip-off is at 7:30, and you can watch that on Amazon Prime. Then they'll host Stewie and the defending champion New York Liberty Saturday at 1. Yeah, we can apparently send a loud message to New York this weekend. Fort Wayne FC won its season opener of divisional play against Dayton on Saturday. They're on the road for their second match Friday against Lexington. That one kicks off at 7. The club's first home game is slated for Wednesday, May 28th, against Kingshammer Columbus FC. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard. We'll be right back.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.